Hey, this is Chaotic Resemblance. I'm Travis.
I'm LA, and you're listening to the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Okay, Steve, here you go. I'm going to throw this at you. Beginning of this show, beginning of this episode, how to open a podcast. I want you to predict what I'm going to say.
You're going to say something that either embarrasses me or makes fun of me or insults me, puts me on the spot, or otherwise just, you know, is bad for me. Then you're going to ask the audience to rank that opening on Twitter. And you're going to say 1 for the best or 10 for the best. That's what's going to happen.
Okay, now, you said that I'm going to say what now? I'm going to say something that does what to you?
It's either going to embarrass me, make me look bad. It's going to be bad for me in some way.
Okay.
Whatever you say.
All right, can you give me an example of a time I've done that?
Brother, I just listened to our catalog of episodes.
Okay. That's fine. I just want one. Just one. Just one example.
You seem to think that just because I want to have my name even remotely associated with the show, that I'm trying to take over the show. And you usually insult me like that and go, oh, it's the Steve Show, you know. And then, yeah.
Well,
I'm not even going to go there with you in this episode. I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to do that, huh?
I'm not going to play your
even
game.
Even though you just did, you're not going to do it.
Okay, you know what? This is it. I'm just done with you.
Okay, resignation accepted. Okay.
Just honestly.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, rank that opening. Hashtag Wildman and Steve. And rank it from 1 to 10. 1 being the best, 10 being the best, because all of our openings are always the best. Even though that one kind of was bad because Steve did not give much to work with there. But hey,
that's what you did, right?
What's new, right? I don't have to work with folks.
So. That's what you're doing. You're insulting me. You're like, oh, you didn't give me much to work with, just like always.
Were you that kid that like always told in class, hey, he's making fun of me? Was that you?
No, I was not that kid. Oh my goodness.
So you grew up to be that adult, because that's what you're doing right now.
Oh.
Hey, Steve, did you write the script for our new Girder music commercial?
I did.
Did you make me sound good?
I did.
Did you make me sound real good?
Well, I can only do so much with the material I'm given to work with.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say, sir?
Look, I'm not the guys over at Girder Music. I mean, they can take anything and make it sound great. Like what they did with the Keith Green box set.
You're right about that. And when the music is already some of the best on the market, like Keith Green stuff is great, and they're the first ones to bring it back.
Well, no kidding. And on top of that, their packaging is second to none. I mean, take a look at the red and black or yellow and black splatter vinyl editions of Disciples Back Again, and this might sting a little.
Or what about that red swirl vinyl of Bride's classic album, Snakes in the Playground?
And as you said, they just make the music sound so good. I mean, you mentioned the Keith Green box set, but whether it's Petra, DeGarmo and Key, Rez Band, Rick Kua, or really any of your favorite Christian artists, when you get your music from girdermusic.com, it's guaranteed to sound and look fantastic.
So, can you make me sound good for our next commercial?
I'll tell you what, Wild Man. If you tell our fans about Girder Music, you will sound great.
There it is, folks. Head over to girdermusic.com today and find the best in Christian rock and metal. Their sound is the best in the business.
So anyway, now we take you to the most favorite part of the show, where I turn it over to Mr. Segway, Latin teacher, rock and metal enthusiast, whom Brian Duncan called quite the incongruity. He always has a tremendous segue for our guests, and we do have an amazing guest tonight that I am very excited about. So, Mr. Segway, take it away.
You know why we always have such amazing guests on our show, Wild Man? We do the hard work of getting out there and just finding the best Christian artists, rock, metal, even some other genres as well. We work hard. We get on the fan groups. We will talk to agents. We just do that because we want our fans, obviously, to have the best shows possible. And I would say that we never, ever, ever shirk our duty. And so what I'm thinking is perhaps a name change for our show. I think we should call ours, it's the No Shirk Show, because we never shirk the really doing all that we need to do to make the show the best possible. So I think we should call this the No Shirk Show.
You know, I'm thinking of the play on words there when you go into a business with a sign in front, you know, shirk, no shoes, no.
Exactly right. You could do something like that, perhaps. Yeah.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Segway strikes again, because it is an honor to welcome to the program tonight Joe Shirk from the amazing band Messiah Prophet. Joe, how are you doing? And welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, I'm doing very well. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I got drug into this family feud by way of my name somehow.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Segway does. He doesn't pull any punches. He knows how to do it to people. So, yeah. So we're very pleased to have you on. So to start off with, when we have our guests on, we usually ask, go back in time, go back in history. And we would just ask, what got you started in music in the first place?
Yeah. That's a long question or a long answer, maybe. I don't know. I was raised in an old order Mennonite family. A lot of people know that, but maybe not everybody. So we had very limited musical options as Old Order Mennonites. I was always fascinated with it. I remember begging my dad for, get this, I think a Segway, an accordion at one time. So there was an auction or something, and there was an accordion there, but he wouldn't buy it for me. But anyway, I was always fascinated with music, and went through my teen years mostly listening, jamming around a little bit on a guitar that I didn't know how to play, you know, that kind of thing. And trying to think of the exact time, might have been around 1982, somewhere around there. I bumped into a bunch of guys that were putting a band together, a Christian rock band, and found out they needed a bass player. So I said, hey, I'll sell the guitar and buy a bass. And became a bass player at that point.
That was around 1982. Obviously, that's the...
I think it would have been 82, 80, 82, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so those early 80s, right? That's such that great era where obviously the 70s was the hard rock. You start to get some metal. But then really that early 80s is when we start getting into kind of what we think of as the big hair metal and just the more some of the melodic metal and some of the stuff that really then ultimately became the MTV era of music and so forth. What sorts of things were influencing either you in particular or the guys that you were running with, whether from secular music or from Christian music at that time?
For myself, I didn't really play bass like this, but I was always a huge Rush fan. I loved Rush. And Christian-wise, Rez Band, I had an early exposure to them after I became a Christian, and I loved Rez Band. Fell in love with them guys. Daniel Band, of course, Stryper. Secular bands, Iron Maiden was one of them. Rat, typical hair metal bands.
So you mentioned some bands, and we have heard, I don't know, we've heard several of those bands mentioned, Wild Man, by guests over the years, both the secular that Joe just named and the Christian. Some of those names just keep coming up over and over again. We've heard Rush multiple times. We've heard Iron Maiden multiple times, of course.
Wow.
Rez Band and Stryper as influences on people. And obviously all of us grew up in that era and enjoyed that. I'm kind of asking a question really for all of us. Why do you think we liked that so much? I mean, it really was some new stuff back then. And you think we liked it just because it was new? Did we like it because it was rebellious, because of the flashy image? I mean, why were we, and there were so many of us, it was really a generation, drawn so much to those kinds of bands?
Wow, that is a good question. Probably some of the rebelliousness of it, I would guess, would probably be a factor. I thought you were, with the question, I thought you were going to why Rush and Iron Maiden as opposed to, say, Black Sabbath or trying to get a name here, Ted Nugent or something like that. That part of the question I would have said is probably... always kind of like complex music, slightly more complex, hence the Rush thing, I guess. The other part of your question, rebellion, the flashiness, probably definitely. That was a big new thing. You know, the wild stage lighting and, laser effects and all that. I remember the first time I seen a laser show, and I was blown away by that. That would have been, I think it was Blue Oyster Cult, maybe. Watching their show, and they had this great laser thing. I'm like, wow, look at that, you know.
Wow.
Also, a Christian band, Servant, they put on a fantastic laser-enhanced show. I went to see it somewhere back in that time. Flashiness definitely be another part of it.
You mentioned about starting bass and learning bass because they needed a bass player. So from that moment that you did that, how much time was it between that and when you found yourself on stage?
Not very long. I used to joke that I was learning to be a bassist on stage at it was a small coffee house band called Rock Angel. And we had an old barn in the one fellow's place there, and we practiced in there. And, I really didn't know what I was playing. You know, like, here, put your finger here at this point in the song, put your finger there, that kind of thing. And I was literally playing songs that I really had no idea what I was actually playing. But, you know, we got through it, or maybe they got through it, I should say.
So what led to your start with Messiah Prophet?
We had actually opened for them two or three times, I believe, in various coffee shops, youth centers around the area. And their original bass player and, let's see, a guitarist, or I'm sorry, a drummer. Drummer had left. They replaced him with David Thunder. And the bass player was leaving. That's what it was. And they wanted a bassist, and they were talking to me about it. And I really didn't want to leave without the one fellow from Rock Angel, Brian Nicary. We were just kind of like bros, you know. And so anyway, one thing led to another, and they took him on board too. So Rock Angel was basically a teenager band. You know, guys were going off to school, and I was the oldest one there, but it was really kind of falling apart as it was. And so, yeah, we both ended up moving to Messiah Prophet at that point. Mm-hmm. I think somewhere along the line, we actually did a gig with them where we came out and opened. And when we were done, Brian and I rushed off backstage, did a quick change, and came out and played with Messiah Prophet. Kind of did a double gig there.
A little bit about your story of how you came to know Christ.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I was raised Old Order Mennonite. My parents had a car, but really nothing else. And most of my like uncles, aunts, cousins were horse and buggy people. And a lot of the stuff never really sat too well with me. I couldn't understand, you know, why this or why that, and questions were really discouraged in that setting. So somewhere around age 15, maybe. Yeah, it was age 15 and 16. I really went the other direction. Got wrapped up in a pretty bad crowd, using all kinds of recreational stuff, you know, and that kept on till probably about around age 20 or so. And I remember sitting alone in my apartment the one night, and I'd been watching a TV evangelist, of all things. I don't know why, but and I was kind of feeling like I was a mess. I really was. It was getting kind of far in there, you know. And I remember just telling God, I said, look, if you know, whatever you can do with this mess, here I am. And so I got up the next morning, which was Sunday, and I just drove at random to this. It was kind of a mega church back in the day before mega churches were a thing, I believe. But went in there, and I don't know, just started hanging out with people there. And One of the guys there was actually planning a trip down to the shore and invited me along. This was a couple months into it, maybe. And on that trip is when I heard these guys talking about having a band. You know, and I just kind of like started asking a little bit about it and found out they needed a bass player. So that's how it all kind of happened, almost at the same time, really. Nothing against Old Order Mennonites or some very amazing people in there. I want to make that clear. Truly amazing people, but the whole thing, I just kind of felt there was more to it. Wasn't working for me at the time. At that time.
Yeah.
Join us next week to hear the story of Wild Man and the way that God found him, and to hear Wild Man say,
and I've been waiting to tell this story on this show, and I'm waiting for you to be here, is that
the Wild Man and Steve show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com, and don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.